Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week we focus on the International Women's Podcast Awards, which took place last night at the BBC Radio Theatre in London. We'll hear the winners' acceptance speeches and backstage interviews with current RAMP mentee and former 30 Under 30 Bea Duncan, who was there for us last night. But first, I chatted with Naomi Meller, founder of the IWPA and Everybody Media, and Jenny Becker, who is the award event director. Now, Naomi had an interesting route into podcasting via being a vet, and in a short space of time, she's made it her business. So I asked her how that came about.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that it's been a lot of learning in quite a short space of time, Georgie. I'm definitely not unique in that. I think there's tons of podcasters out there who are self-taught and probably started in the same way that I did, which was learning from YouTube videos and playing around with different softwares and learning how to edit. And I definitely learned all my production and editing from a couple of people who were very generous. I would definitely give a shout out to Sarah Williams, who runs the Tough Girl podcast that's been around for a very long time. She was somebody who was very integral to me at the beginning and taught me a lot of stuff. I think it's really interesting to see how things have developed in the last 8 years, 10 years. Things have come a long way. Riverside, you know, we're using for recording today in particular is one of the recording platforms have just come a long way since we all started with, well, I started with Skype back in the day, which ages it a bit. Things have come on.
Tell us, what are the International Women's Podcast Awards?
They are a celebration of women worldwide working in the audio sector and really just cheerleading and shouting the work that people do from all over the world, and just the global network that we have managed to build through running this event is my favorite thing about the whole endeavor. The contacts and the people that we've met along the way, I'm perpetually surprised when people come from overseas to come to the event, which is amazing and just so kind of people. I'd worked in women's networks in other areas of career. So I am a vet by background, and I'd worked in women's networks in the veterinary sector and other areas as well. And I sort of realized that there was a bit of a gap in the UK at that stage for supporting women in podcasting and audio. And that's how we began, really. And I had never run an event before. I had absolutely no background in media or events, but I relatively gung-ho, and it was the pandemic. So I had a bit more time on my hands, and that was how we began. So we've gone on from there, and we're very lucky to have the support of some really fabulous people within the industry, people like yourselves, and to have people like Jenny supporting the event as well, and really being fantastic is how it all fits together. It's a big network of people, and definitely the international women are the ones who make it what it is.
Jenny, let's have a chat with you. You're event director. So what does that entail then? Tell me about your role in all this.
It's kind of everything, to be honest. I mean, as Naomi said, she's not only created an event, which is an award ceremony, it's a network, it's a community of people. So it's not just about putting on one night in the year and celebrating. It's kind of how do we collaborate and connect with women in podcasting all over the world. My job is anything from organizing the venue and the sponsors that we have and ticket sales, to also kind of looking at how the running order works on the night and that type of stuff. It's been amazing for me because I've got to learn so many different skills just even doing this. Even from all the events I've done, I still think I'm learning new stuff. I think what I've really enjoyed this year especially is to be able to kind of interact with all the different women in podcasting. It's not just a transaction. It's very much we care about everybody that enters. We've got our bursary scheme, which is, I think, one of its kind, where we can offer free entry and free tickets to anyone anywhere around the world with no questions asked. There's no barrier to entry. So I think I've loved connecting with loads of women that I'd never heard of in podcasting before. I've been absolutely bowled over by how much work Naomi's done on her own for the past 4 years, and it being in its fifth year, it's amazing to be able to collaborate with her on this year's awards.
What are the different categories, Jenny?
We have 10 categories. And what I love about the awards as well is it's not necessarily the type of podcast you are. It's the type of audio content that you produce. Lots of them are moments. So it's like moments of absolute honesty. We have factual clarity. We have podcasts in other languages. So we really want people to kind of find those amazing moments of audio within their podcast and be able to celebrate and shout about them. And what I love is there are already 10 categories. So when we don't go on forever, we really pick the kind of high quality moments in audio that stand out from each year.
You're a podcaster yourself, Jenny, aren't you?
Yes.
What for you, and I'm going to ask Naomi this question as well, for you, why a female-only podcast award?
I came across Naomi probably about 3 years ago, and I loved the fact that there was something that women felt really a part of the story, but also it's a very inclusive award ceremony, and it's very much focused on not the downloads that you have and not kind of the big machines you have behind you. I'm an independent podcaster. It celebrates brilliant women in audio, and I think there's still a long way to go with championing women in podcasting. And I think it's really important to have a space where we feel celebrated, and also we're put up there to shine. I was a nominee a couple of years ago, and I just think it's just brilliant to be able to celebrate women in audio.
Naomi, are there barriers for women in podcasting that we need our own international awards?
Well, I would echo everything Jenny just said there. And I think for me, what I love when you get a group of women in a room together is the network and the power and the connection and the community that comes from that. And I think that is one of my major drivers in running this event. It is about celebrating women's work and women's achievements and what they do in the industry. But it's not just about that. It's about allowing people to come together, and the number of people who have gone on to work together or just become friends, which is really wonderful. And we have a community that sits alongside the awards, which is called the Everybody Collective. And that's been going since the beginning. And the number of people who have stuck around with me since the beginning of that is a wonderful, wonderful testament to what happens when women meet and want to work together and get on and have common interests around podcasting. I think one of the reasons that podcasting is brilliant is that the barrier to entry is low, but it's like a lot of things where the barrier to entry is low, everybody can get started, but really making it is challenging. And it's challenging for everybody, but I think sometimes women have unique challenges that they really love to share with one another. And often there are a lot of pressures around family and work and living, and they're just sharing those common pressures with one another is just a real testament to knowing that you're not alone and that actually we can help one another. The collaborations that have come through the awards and the collective, I really love. And there's so many people who've promoted one another's shows, guested on each other's shows, gone on to work together. They've produced together. They've created some insanely brilliant narrative. It's a real wonderful community that is out there. And I think just having the privilege to bring those people together is what makes me happy.
Also, as well, I wanted to ask you both about the international aspect of it. Something that we're looking at the Radio Academy is global sounds and global audio. And it's going to be the main theme of our Radio Academy Festival in September. What have you both learned about podcasting in other areas of the world? How does it differ from the podcasting we have here in the UK?
I think for me, it's not necessarily that it's different. I think it's just not known about. I think we had over 35 countries with which some of our entries came from. And I didn't even know that half of those produce podcasts. It's about giving a platform to people that are producing audio that's probably just as good as what we have here, but don't have the platform and the accessibility that we do, especially being in the UK. And that's why it's very much based on kind of brilliant content as opposed to kind of having, you know, the big machine behind you, because there were podcasts from places I'd never even heard of. And I think it's brilliant because they're touching on topics and discussions that we are all relative to us. And that's why I think it's so important to do events and have communities in audio that celebrate voices globally, and especially with women, because I think we can all find something. You know, we always find, and our judges say this, judges are always like, I can't believe how many podcasts I've just found that are now going to go on my listen list every single week. That's amazing to us because we've brought those sounds to people's ears.
Podcasting is huge here in the UK and particularly also even more so in the US. But what have you discovered about podcasting globally? Like Jenny says, in areas of the world that we didn't even know maybe that it has the platforms that it has.
I think it's been really interesting, that aspect, Georgie. Again, one of my sort of favourite things. And it's one of the reasons that we started to a category for podcasts in languages other than English, because one of my small frustrations was how Anglo-centric we are. And the US and North America and the UK are massive podcast markets, and there is absolutely no doubting that. But there's a lot of amazing stuff happening elsewhere in the world, quite often in other languages. Just seeing the breadth of work that is being produced in non-English languages as well is something that I have been truly blown away by over the last few years. What have I learned? That there are both similar and different challenges and benefits to podcasting, both at home and abroad. There's really, really big opportunities for growth in a lot of other markets. If people are talking about the business of podcasting, we have a lot of connections in Africa and India, in particular Southeast Asia, and the growth of podcasting in those places. Somebody who looks at business, I'm sure, much more than me, would know way more about this than me, but there is often a little lag, I think, behind the States, and we certainly are on a bit of a lag here. And in other countries, that will, I'm sure, continue to grow for the next few years. But just the number of listeners in places overseas is mind-blowing, and the audience that is listening to podcasts that we may not be aware of or we may not have heard of is actually just amazing. You got to take the blinkers off, I think. You know, I definitely have blind spots about that, and I listen to what I listen to. We all do. And discovering new stuff is definitely what we are about, and bringing new stuff to other people is what we are about. And I think expanding the awareness and the listenership of audio that's being produced both at home and abroad is what the awards is all about, really. I had a meeting with two podcasters in New Zealand last week, and one of them is a hairdresser, and she said she heard about the awards. She lives in a very remote area of the South Island of New Zealand. Somebody came in and sat down in a chair in her hairdressing salon and told her about the awards. And that, to me, is just very mind-blowing, to be honest.
A big thank you to Naomi and Jenny. Now, before we hear from the winners, Bea Duncan was there for us, soaking up all the atmosphere from the awards as everyone arrived.
I'm Anya from Podcast Discovery. We're a marketing agency, and we're here to support all the women. Woo!
And is that what brings you here this evening?
Absolutely. It's so nice to see so many independent podcasts that have broken through and found their audiences. And it's amazing to see just how many women are also here to support each other. And it's such an inclusive event. And I think Jenny has done an incredible job bringing it here to the BBC this year. So big shout out to everybody who's made this happen, including you, Bea.
Yep.
Look at you doing the podcast.
My name is Emma Crampton and I'm freelance.
And what's brought you here this evening?
I'm judging today, and I was judging last year as well.
Why do you enjoy judging the international podcasts?
For lots of reasons. Mostly to get to hear all the different range of what's being made at the moment and the different quality of things all around, and to kind of, yeah, just to, it's a really good opportunity to do a lot of listening and to hear things I wouldn't usually come across as well.
I'm Elle Scott. I'm a freelancer and currently I'm working at Crowd Network.
And what brings you here this evening?
I'm making a kind of passion project, a female skewing passion project, and I'm coming here to feel inspired, uplifted, and do a bit of research about what kind of amazing female skewing podcasts are out there.
Love that. And is it important for you for women to be supported in the podcast industry?
Yeah, for sure. It can be hard out there, and women supporting women is kind of the base level of what we need. And also, we make great stuff. We make really good stuff and we inspire each other.
We'll hear more from Bea throughout this podcast as she's interviewed the winners who were there on the night just as they came off stage. Now let's head to the ceremony and find out who's won. And just to be warned, in all the excitement of the award ceremony, this podcast does contain some strong language.
Please welcome to the stage your host for this evening, Samantha Bain. Welcome to the International Women's Podcast Awards. Welcome. This is the fifth year of the awards. That's pretty impressive. Let's give them a round of applause. Yeah. And before we kick off, I think we need an important person to come up on the stage. So I'd like to welcome the founder of the International Women's Podcast Awards, who's going to say a few words to begin proceedings, Naomi Mellor. I want to dedicate this evening to Julie Novak, who is a podcaster who won one of the International Women's Podcast Awards a couple of years ago. She flew over here with her wife, Eva, and their friend, Blake, from New York when Julie was in stage 4 breast cancer treatment. And she has subsequently died quite recently. And I know her work in the queer community in New York is unprecedented, and she would want everybody here to have the most fantastic time. She was a ray of light when she came to the 2023 awards. So I want to dedicate tonight to her. Julie, this one is for you. She would all want us to have an amazing night, and that is my wish for you as well. So have a brilliant time, make some new friends, and enjoy. Thank you. Naomi Mellor for the first award, Moment of Absolute Honesty. Here to present the award for Moment of Absolute Honesty is a woman who's worked on a lot of podcasts as her role as senior producer at Jampot. It's Jemima Rathbone.
And our totally solo winner for this year's Moment of Absolute Honesty, who entered a piece of audio that one of the judges described as feeling like I was living the guest story, is Vicky Stevenson for Blue Mondays.
Next is our Moment of Visionary Leadership. So here to present that award for Moment of Visionary Leadership is a wonderful leader and someone many of you will know. It's Nicole Logan from Goalhanger.
Okay, let's get to the winner of the 2025 Moment of Visionary Leadership. And that goes to Lacey Healy for The Things That Go Boom. Where are the women, really? So, Lacey couldn't be here with us this evening, another fantastic international leader, but she did leave us a few words, so we can check them out now.
Hi, everyone at the IWPAs. I'm watching at home in Maryland, but I wish so much that I was there with you. Thank you so much for this award. It means so much to our tiny little show, and it especially means a lot this season and for this moment, because this moment is from a season where we explored something called feminist foreign policy. And as we look around the world at everything that's happening, and we look at home at everything that's happening, it is more important than ever. It feels more important than ever that women's perspectives and leadership be part of the conversation about the way forward. We are really grateful for this. I'm really grateful to our team for bringing this reporting and these perspectives to the public. And I'm really grateful to Cynthia Enloe for having this conversation with me. She's one of my heroes and was so gracious with her time. And I'm really grateful to the IWPAs. Thank you so much for your support, and have a great night. Have a drink for me.
Okay, Moment of Comedy Gold is up next. So without further ado, here to present the award for Moment of Comedy Gold this year, supported by BBC Sounds, is comedian Laura Smith.
And the winners of the Moment of Comedy Gold for 2025 are Susie Riddle and Esther Stanford for Limited Time Only.
We didn't discuss what would happen if we won.
No.
We had lunch and we were like, what a lovely evening. I wonder who will be there. And then we were like, well, we might win. No, we won't win. Fucking hell. Thank you.
We dressed. Well, we've got, you know, it's pink in here, so we dressed. I dressed a banana and Esther's dressed in pink because we thought, you know, we might as well showcase it because we're not going to be up here winning an award, but we are. So,
yes,
I mean,
thank you. We literally didn't. Thank you for being lovely.
Thank you.
We're quite teary because sometimes you feel like you're pissing into the wind, don't you, when you make a podcast. So to actually have some recognition, so lovely, isn't it? So thank you. And thank you to all you amazing women and you guys for starting it.
Thank you.
We're bloody thrilled.
We are bloody thrilled.
I don't know who's going to live with it.
I'm Esther Stanford. And I'm Susie Riddell. Our podcast is called Limited Time Only. And we, amazingly, astoundingly, beyond all expectations, expectations have won Moment of Comedy Gold for our little podcast that we do everything for. And it's a pick-me-up in podcast form. And it's a mix of chats and original comedy sketches that we write and interviews with interesting people from the whole gamut of the world.
What made you want to blend that format of doing the sketches and interviews? A lot of podcasts do one or the other. What made you want to blend?
I think it's the fact that we have known each other since we were 11 and we were part of ITV Workshop, and we're both actors and writers. And so we talked about making the podcast together, and then it was, well, let's bring in some of the things that we love, and we love chatting together and we love interviewing people. And then also that sort of, we love like French and Saunders and Wood and Walters and that kind of thing. So we wanted to bring that side of ourselves, and we thought, well, we don't know that in any other podcast, so why don't we create what we want?
And that sort of magazine, we think of it like us, the Saturday morning shows that we used to love as kids, although it's for grown-ups.
Like, quite swear,
you know, Anton Deck, what was it called? SMTV Live, and Live and Kicking, that magazine-style show. Mm. And we've written recurring characters that come through, and our chat is always quite fun and light, even though we're discussing sometimes quite serious things. We're both mums. Different. I've got slightly younger kids, and Esther's got through all that. But always keeping it light and keeping it as a boost. We just want to give people a boost and bring some comedy to their lives.
And here to present the award for Moment of Factual Clarity, and she's come from sunny Manchester today, is Aisha Williams from Reform Radio.
Congratulations to Ella Feder, Katie Hafner, and Deborah Unger for Lost Women of Science.
Wow, this is fantastic. The podcast that we've won for is called The Devil in the Details, and it's about a fantastic woman scientist who was a medical reviewer at the FDA in the United States in the 1960s. Her name is Frances Oldham Kelsey. And she stood up to big science and to her bosses, and she refused to approve thalidomide for sale in the US. And it was a hugely complicated story, and my thanks go to Ella Feder, who was a fantastic producer, and to Katie Hafner, who was our co-founder of Lost Women of Science. I'd like to say thank you to her, and to Amy Scharf, Eowyn Bertner, who's our program manager, and Lily Weir, who's here tonight with us, who's our marketing director. It was a great podcast to work on, and I really recommend everybody listen to it, because in these days, science is getting a bashing, and we need people who listen to the facts, understand why they're important, and stand up for science. Thank you very much.
My name is Deborah Unger. I'm a senior managing producer at Lost Women of Science, and we seem to have won in the category of factual clarity. And we really, really do concentrate on the science and try and be as clear as we can.
Why do you think that women in the science history have been so erased, and what can we do about it?
Well, there are many things that we can do about it, which is to tell their stories and tell their stories loudly. Mm-hmm. There's also the Wikipedia project that we're involved with, and other people are, is making sure that women scientists have proper and well-researched Wikipedia pages, because that's where everyone goes to find out about find out about anything. So that is really important, that we get more women onto Wikipedia, women, female scientists, and to uncover their stories. We have a database of 350 women, and we've told about 50 so far, so we've got a lot of work to do.
Amazing. And how do you think this project, or uncovering the stories of women in history, but specifically science history, how do you think that can inspire young girls or women in the fields of STEM?
I think that is actually our mission, to do that. We're a non-profit educational podcast and initiative. I think that by recognizing people who've gone before you, and that they've succeeded and they've done tremendous things, really does inspire people. They get their stories into textbooks, they get their stories into history, and they will be there. And if we keep banging on about those women, female scientists, you never say male scientists, you just say scientists, but we say female scientists. And if you really make a point of telling their stories, I think we will inspire a next generation. Mm-hmm. And we hope they have an easier job than some of the women that we've profiled so far.
Yeah.
This is for Moment of Podcasting Panache in another language other than English. This year, the judges have heard entries from countries including Lebanon, the Philippines, Senegal, Taiwan, and Turkey. And they've loved getting to hear what's being produced outside of the English domain. So here to present the award for Moment of Podcasting Panache in a language other than English is one of the women honored in this category last year. It's Chilean podcaster and journalist Catalina May.
And the winner of the 2025 Moment of Podcasting Panache in a language other than English is Portuguese journalist Sara de Melo Rocha for Gun Guyana, Cuando Portugal Raptó un Rey.
I was not expecting this, to be honest. I wrote some lines in case something happened, but I can't find them now, actually. This podcast I submitted, it's about Portuguese colonialism, and it's a very strong topic at the moment, and it's something that is a taboo in Portugal still. So it's something I have been working on for years. I produced it, I authored, and I'm also the narrator, and it has been with me for years. I know this story for years, and I have been wanting to tell it for years. It follows a king, an African king, that was kidnapped by Portugal in the 19th century and brought to Lisbon in a very difficult condition. And he was paraded throughout the country. And with him, he brought seven wives, seven queens. And the episode that is actually winning tonight, it's about these seven women and the impact colonialism has in women. These women weren't just figures of someone else's story. I wanted to kind of show how they were important to have their own episode and to kind of understand why they are so important. So as a journalist, I see this as a responsibility. It's a responsibility to look a bit closer with time, with details, and also because colonialism may feel a bit distant, but it's actually not. So we can feel it actually in everyday lives in Portugal more and more. Colonialism ended 50 years ago in the case of Portugal. So I can't really change the past, but I can make us understand it better. So I'm really, truly grateful to International Women's Podcast Award. I also want to send my regards to my team, Brua Podcast, and to CNN Portugal for allowing me to do this. And I should move. And finally, to my husband, who is not here, but he's following from home, I think. And I really want to thank him. He's actually my biggest supporter, and he's so important for this podcast as well. Thank you so much. Thank you.
My name is Sara de Melo Rocha. I am a Portuguese journalist working for CNN Portugal, and my podcast is about Portuguese colonialism. It's not so easy to pronounce, so I'm going to say it very slowly. Gun Guyana, Quando Portugal Raptou um Rei. So, Gun Guyana, when Portugal kidnapped a king.
Why was this a story that was important for you to tell? Why did you want to tell this story?
Actually, that's a big thing about this podcast, because so I am Azorean from Azores Islands, where this African king ended his days. So while growing up, I was really fascinated by this story because it's somehow part of not our identity, but it's out there, you know, like it's a story that you kind of hear since you're a little girl. And on top of it, my father is a historian. So, you know, I kind of went together with him. We were kind of discovering this story together. And it's something that I wanted to tell for a long time. This is more the personal part. Then the journalistic part has to do with the topic of colonialism. So Portugal left the former colonies 50 years ago. The topic is a bit of a taboo still in Portugal, and more we need to discuss it. So there are some resistance to do it. So I think journalists and journalism should really be up for it. You know, like if it's our job, it's our task to also touch these very sensitive topics and see how we can kind of not rewrite the story, but explain it and see how we can move forward.
Was it important for you to tell this story in the Portuguese language? And how does it feel for you to win this award for a show that is in the Portuguese language?
I have been talking a lot about how Portuguese is not really handy for podcasting. I mean, of course it is. There's a big audience in Brazil, let's say 200 mm-hmm. million people living in Brazil against 10 million in Portugal. But Portuguese from Portugal and Portuguese from Brazil are a bit different. Mm-hmm. And I have been actually discussing how this, maybe this podcast should be also in English. But to be honest, if it was not in Portuguese, Mozambicans could not maybe follow it. And I have been receiving a lot of really nice feedback from Angolians, Mozambicans, a lot of African countries that speak Portuguese. And there are a lot of them because, you know, Portugal kind of went around. it went around the world. So to be honest, it's important to be told in Portuguese. And who knows if we do a next season in another language. In the podcast world, you end up sometimes really not being sure, am I doing the right thing? Is anyone listening? Is it real? And then this kind of awards are amazing to confirm that, yes, keep going and telling the stories that matter.
Our next category rewards the unsung heroes of the podcasting world, the people behind the scenes who keep the wheels turning. This one is for Moment of Behind the Scenes Brilliance. To present this category, which is supported by Audio UK, please welcome up their managing director, Chloe Straw, and vice chair, Bernard Achampong.
And the 2025 award for Moment of Behind the Scenes Brilliance, supported by Audio UK, it is Maya Rita for Tales from the Singing Porch.
Thank you so much to the International Women's Podcast Awards. It's an absolute honor to be nominated and truly more than I could have ever expected to win. Also, congratulations so much to my fellow nominees. It was an incredible field. And really great to have a little bit of recognition for the people behind the mic. I very much appreciate that. This podcast is a dream come true for my collaborator Joe and I. It's truly a passion project and really like independent media. So we wouldn't be able to do it without the support of our friends and family and the community in Chicago and beyond. And thank you so much to them as well. And please support your local independent media, whether that be independent artists, podcasting, community radio, community theater. All of that needs your support more, now more than ever. And, you know, if you want to check out my podcast as well, of course, you can check us out on wherever you get your podcast.
So next up, we have Moment of Compelling Storytelling. And this year, the Moment of Compelling Storytelling is supported by Adelicious. And here to present the award is their head of sales, Gemma O'Brien.
And the winner of the Moment of Compelling Storytelling this year is supported by Adelicious. The award goes to Michelle Newman for Tell Me a Ghost Story. And there's a little video.
Thank you so much to the International Women's Podcast Awards, Everybody Media, and to the judges for this incredible honor. I wish I was there to party with you in person. This moment means the world. I'm a one-woman show when it comes to stuff behind the scenes and in front of the scenes. So I'm pretty used to putting stuff out into the void and just hoping something lands. This moment to be recognized is deeply validating. To my listeners, thank you for trusting me with your attention, your curiosity, and your ghosts. And you are the show, and I'm just here to listen. To the other nominees, your voices inspire me. Every single one of you pushes the medium forward. And finally, to everyone who's ever felt like an outsider with something to say, hit record. There's magic in your voice. Thank you so much.
I feel like There's Magic in Your Voice should be like the title of this evening. I love that. Here to present the award for Moment of Insight from a Role Model, joining us all the way from New York, is multiple times winner at these awards, multiple times judge, and all-round amazing audio professional. It's Florence Barrow Adam.
And the 2025 award for Moment of Insight from a Role Model, it's Namulathu Kambo and the team at the BBC World Service for Dear Daughter.
I'm the series producer. Hetty is the commissioning assistant. Carla is the video editor and Claire is the producer. But Namulanta, who is the host of our podcast, is the real star. She came up with the idea. She does these amazing interviews with people all over the world who've got letters of advice for their daughters. And the one that won won this category for is Adjoa Ando from Bridgerton, who just did the most beautiful and inspiring interview about all kinds of things. I really recommend that you go and find the episode, but it's such a joy to work on. Namalanta is such an amazing host, and it's really great to hear stories that are from all over the world of people talking about what is in their personal lives. It's a treat. Thank you so much. We're chuffed.
We are the production team from Dear Daughter, which has just won the category of inspiring moment from a role model. Although the main star of the show is not here, which is Namalanta Kombo, who's our host. She lives in Nairobi. It's her baby. It's all of our baby. It's such a great show. I'm so chuffed.
Okay, I would love to know if there was anything interesting that any of you learned while producing the show about how to be a role model or what a role model might look like.
The guest on this particular episode that we won this category for was Adjoa Ando from Bridgerton. She was so amazing. She came in and she was just so poised and stylish and thoughtful, and she read, so our format is you have to read a letter that you've written to your daughter, and she read this letter and it was just flawless. It was such a beautiful moment, really. And she had a lot of advice for her daughters about like how to live in the world and how to live in your own body. And we all just came out, we were talking about it earlier, that we were, like, in the interview, then we were all like, wow, that's amazing.
It was
amazing.
Electric. Yeah. It really was electric.
And now here we are.
And in any of the other episodes, any of the other letters, is there something that sticks out to any of you that was really surprising that you learned, or that somebody put in a letter, or something that really stuck out as something that you hadn't expected to hear or learn?
The hilarious bit in Adria's episode is that she talks about when she was pregnant. So she and Namalanta were talking about like how you like listened to your body when you were pregnant and how it really like puts you back in your body being pregnant. And she was saying that she remembered when she was pregnant back in the 80s, she talked about being a heavily pregnant black woman sidling up to building sites and trying to sniff the building sites because she had this craving for the smell of the stone, which is a thing that you get in pregnancy. And it's like your body wants nutrients, it wants minerals.
And Namalanta said they eat stones in Kenya.
Yeah.
For when it's quite common when they're pregnant. Yeah.
This category, the next one, has been with us since the start of the awards, and it continues to be one of the busiest. It's moment of pure emotion. So here to present the moment of pure emotion is a man. I'm not going to say any more than that. No, it's a man who he's probably feeling a little bit nervous right now, but it's the director of the Cheerful Earful Comedy Festival, Giles Gear.
Right, this year's winner of Moment of Pure Emotion, Laurel Morales, for Two Lives.
Hello from Flagstaff, Arizona. I'm so grateful to be recognized with this award. Two Lives comes from the quote, "We all have two lives. The second begins the moment we realize we have only one." Stories of people who face darkness and how those moments transform them. Over the last 5 years, I've learned so much from our storytellers about how I want to show up in the world. I share this award with them, especially Anna Runkle and Heather Strotter, whose courage and tenacity astound me. I share it with my assistant producer, Valerie Shively. I can't imagine doing this work without you. I'm also grateful to our listeners, our Two Lives crew, who tell us how much these stories mean to them. A big thank you to my husband, Matt, for his constant encouragement, love, and belief in me. And I'd also like to thank my two daughters for their love of story, their anything is possible spirit, and their spontaneous dance parties.
We've come to the final award for the night, the award for changing the world one moment at a time. This celebrates podcasts out there creating meaningful and impactful change through the medium of audio. You're inspiring others through your work or shouting about the work of others. You're making your own voice heard and those of other people. And so many of you are advocating for a better world in this room, on that live stream, and in your podcast. And we love you for it. And it's a very powerful medium. Here to present our final award for tonight, which is supported by Amazon Music and Wondery, is a woman who tirelessly helps other people make their impact in the podcasting world. It's Megan Bradshaw.
time for the last one. We always finish with this category. It's the award for changing the world one moment at a time. And a first ever, there aren't any runners-up in this category. Instead, we've got joint winners. These are two very different podcasts, but both showcase incredible talent. And this variety is one of the things we love here at the International Women's Podcast Awards. One is a solo endeavor from an early career podcaster who, as a mixed-race woman who grew up in Hong Kong, wrote this show as an exploration of identity and belonging. The second is a show that many of you will probably have heard, one that's received international acclaim for its writing and storytelling that triggered a four-year multinational investigation involving the FBI and other agencies. The winners of this year's award for changing the world one moment at a time are Katie Stokes for Floating Space and Caroline Thornham, Amelie Shortland, and the teams at Novel and Wondery for Kill List.
I'm shook. My heart rate's going through the roof. I started this podcast because I moved to London after COVID and I was really lonely and I didn't know how to make friends because I was working in audio all alone. And so I started this exploration of places that people can belong, and through finding people that were generous with their time and words, I found really special places in nightlife communities and queer communities and artist collectives, and I really found my special home with the Roundhouse and my lovely friends who are here tonight and who helped me make this podcast. And I'm frazzled, and thank you so much. I appreciate this, and this means the absolute world to me. I'm freelance and any work is wonderful, so thank you.
Hi, I'm Katie Stokes. My podcast is Floating Space and I just won Moments of Something Changing the World.
And your podcast is all about exploring third spaces, floating spaces, places where we can find community. What for you is your third space?
Well, it's a little bit of a, I'm going to draw the curtain here. I actually left London and I moved out of London. But I moved to Brighton and I really found a beautiful place in the outdoors and people who do wild swimming and people in my choir. And I think when you meet people, particularly of different generations and of different backgrounds, of you don't have to be best friends, but you can join together and enjoy doing something and relate, I think that has been really special for me.
And third spaces are, although we may not want them to be, sometimes political, they're politicized. What can we do, all of us as communities, to push back against the powers that be that might be trying to remove third spaces or to make them less accessible to everybody?
I think particularly in London, what I found was so many of these places are closing. It's because of 10 years of austerity, it's because of governments that don't want people to, or don't believe that it's a priority. But what makes us human is connection. If you want to make a change, there are opportunities to do that. Contact your MPs and tell them the spaces that are important to you. Participate in the places and tell people, advertise them. Word of mouth is the most important thing. And so there are things that you can do to make the spaces around you thrive and be a part of them. And so I really encourage people to listen to the podcast and encourage them to look in your local community and make it a place that you want to be and you want other people to thrive.
We started this investigation nearly 5 years ago today in the depths of the COVID lockdown. And if you haven't heard the show, we basically spent several years embedded in a dark web hitmen for hire website, intercepting every message and every payment that was made there. And very quickly, we realized that we weren't just reporting on any story. We were reporting on a story about gender violence and about, in many cases, men trying to kill women. And we spent a long time trying to convince the police to take it seriously, working with victims. And so far today, I think of the cases we passed to the police, there have been 28 convictions around the world for attempted murder. But there are so many people, you know, who we spoke to who are still waiting for justice. And although our stories, you know, might seem on the extreme end of things, they really speak to a much wider and really kind of disturbing phenomenon. Between 2018 and 2022, Refuge, the domestic violence charity, recorded a 258% rise in technology being used to facilitate domestic abuse. And so this is a huge honour, and this really goes out to all the incredible women who trusted us with their stories. Thank you so much. This means a lot. Thank you.
My name is Caroline Thornham. I am the producer, one of the producers of Kill List. And
the producer of Killist, let's be honest. I'm the assistant producer on Killist.
Obviously, Killist, very sensitive topic, very emotional at times. For you producing this podcast, how did you find protecting kind of the peace and safety of both your contributors, but also yourselves throughout quite a long and what must have been difficult process?
Gosh, it was a real journey. Over the 4 years, I think we worked on it. We learned a lot. We were really just lucky, I think, in that we had very good relationships with our contributor, that they felt comfortable to share with us as much as they did and let us into their lives and trust us with their stories. Like with any of these stories where you spend so long investigating it, you obviously get so invested in it personally, which comes with its challenges, but also makes it very rewarding, you know, to come to something like this. And it's a real honor.
Yeah, I mean, Caroline has been amazing throughout the production of this podcast, and you've made so many contributors feel so comfortable to share their stories.
No,
you're literally incredible, and I wish I'd said that on stage. I was like, oh my God, I feel like I should go now. But like, I'm so in awe of you. You're incredible.
And it was hard. It was hard.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's not easy always to sort of like be on the production end of things. Like, you're a human too, right? And you're also a woman, and so it's like it's difficult on many levels to hear to protect yourself.
And the award that you won about changing the world, a podcast that is changing the world. If there was one thing that you would see change in the world in response to Killist, what would it be?
Can we deal with men?
Maybe.
Yeah. Like, I think that's, I have to sum it up. I think it might be them. I don't, it's a common denominator here, and I think that might be it.
yeah, truly.
But also, I think, like, on another level, I think just the, what was so apparent to us was how long it took for us to have these cases be taken seriously, but also so many of the stories we were entering into were women who had reported, you know, incidences where they felt under threat many, many, many times to the police and were not taken seriously until we arrived. And so that tells you so much about how just like unprepared our authorities are, you know, around the world to actually take these kind of issues seriously.
What a fabulous evening, and congratulations to all the winners. A big thank you to Naomi Meller and Jenny Becker, and of course to Bea Duncan, who was there for us on the night and did an amazing job getting those winners' reactions. If you'd like to know more about the IWPA and see how you can enter for 2026, then head to their website, everybodymedia.com/awards. Early bird tickets for the Radio Academy Festival on the 17th of September are still available, but be quick because the offer closes at the end of June. For all the details about festival tickets, confirmed names of speakers, and to book your place, head to radioacademy.org/festival. Next week's podcast is all about the summer of live music on the radio, as I chat with BBC Radio's head of live music and events, Rhys Hughes, about the logistics behind organising huge OBs like Radio 1's Big Weekend and Glastonbury. I'll see you next week.